We're going to look at three separate scriptures here in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. I mentioned this morning the title of the message, Corrective Lenses. Corrective Lenses. A few of you do not know what that's about. Okay, some of you do. I can tell. Amen. And some of them are not corrective enough. And I found out I kept going to the drugstore. Started out 1.75, 2.0, 2.75, 3.0, 3.0, 3.0. I can't find nothing no bigger than 3.0. So I went to the eye doctor. She said, they don't make anything bigger than 3.0 in reading glasses. You have to have prescription glasses. I can give me those. I think I'm about 3 1/4 when it comes to reading. I feel sorry for the fact that I used to pick on some of my friends who had reading glasses as a young person. I used to pick on Mike Eastridge. Y'all know Brother Mike. Been here a couple of times. Brother Mike, I used to accuse him of wearing his glasses so thick they look like the bottom of a Coke bottle. And I said, you look at sun, it'll burn your eyes out in 5 seconds. And big old lenses like that. But he's had problems all his life. But anyway, sooner or later, it'll get you. You live long enough. And the corrective lenses. And some folk, at least if you can afford it, buy about a 10-year reprieve and go and have the laser surgery. Okay? Getting that laser done. But to whatever, you and I experience that we need help with our vision. And certainly in the book of wisdom, we find the same thing in a great spiritual truth that, boy, we sure need help with our vision, with our perspective in a very spiritual way. And so the book of Proverbs speaks of that. I'm going to pick at just a few verses here. Look at just a few. Look at Proverbs 14, if you will. And then you can also look in Proverbs 27 if you'd like to find both of those chapters. In Proverbs 14 and in verse number 15, the Bible reads that the simple man believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. And so we have in this verse of Scripture the contrast between the simple and the prudent, and it comes down to how well he looks, how well he sees. That the simple man just takes everything at face value. But there is a greater insight, a greater depth, a greater concentration, a greater focus that the prudent man has. And then we come over, if you will, to chapter 27. And in chapter 27, look in verse number 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And so we have the contrast here between the prudent man and the simple again. The prudent man, listen, having foresight concerning, relating to evil, and he seeks a refuge. But the simple pass on without consideration, and it costs them. They are punished because they headed straight in to the problem, to the difficulty, to the sin, to the enemy, and it certainly came against them. I've included in this Proverbs 29, so if you look across the page or a page over, and I've included, though it does not stick with the theme so much of the prudent man, it does stick with the thought of our vision. In 29:18, the Bible says a familiar passage, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I want to take and relate these three verses together in this message of the corrective lenses. Go back, if you will, to our beginning chapter 14 and look with me again at verse 15. Let's notice some things in the way of introduction. The prudent man is an interesting word. The root of it means to make bare. That is that by his sight, by his focus, by his insight, he looks all the way down to the depth of a thing. It is a serious look. It is a look beneath the surface. It is a look deep inside and out. And so the idea of the prudent man is that he looks beyond, he looks behind, and he looks beneath. That is that he takes the time to look a lot deeper below the surface, beneath that surface. It is the power of discernment, or the word we would probably use, of having insight. I like that word insight because you take the root of it. It is a sight in. It is a sight within. It is looking to greater depth. In these verses, I want to share with you three aspects of a corrected vision. Three aspects of a corrected vision. Notice in chapter 14, verse 15, the first thing I see that a prudent man will seek after. He will seek after a reference. I want you to make a note of that in your minds today, if you don't make a note on your paper. The prudent man, considering his sight, his vision, his foresight, he's always securing a reference. That's important. When you and I go to the eye doctor, what do? Well, you start out looking at that chart thing. What chart? You're in trouble if you can't find the chart. And you know, anybody you hope could read the first letter. It's an E, and it's about that big. If you can't read that, we can't help you. Okay, I doubt we can help you. And so you look down there and you find that 2020. And you say, well, I don't have that anymore. Okay? And what do? They put this machine on there and they start flipping those things for you. Is that clear? Is that clear? Is that blur? Which one's the clearest? Which one's blur? But you can go and do that. You have to have a reference, right? There's a reference. I need to know what good human sight is if I'm going to relate as to whether my sight's good or bad. And so Ron and I used to ride down the road all the time, and we would talk about it sometimes. She said, you know, my eye's really bad. I said, not bad as mine. And so I'd take my glasses off, and I said, you see that speed limit sign? I said, it's blurred, it's blurred, it's blurred until it gets right there. Now it's clear. And that was it. Just that fact. She said, your eyes are worse than mine. I said, I told you they were. We had a reference. We had to look at in order to establish the difference between our eyesight. And so hers was clearer, much further out than mine. And so a prudent man realizes the importance of a reference as he is looking, as he looks to life, as he considers the thing. And notice the Bible said that this is in relationship to things that are apparent, things on the surface, things that he is told, things that are shared, and the simple believeth every word. And so here is the prudent vision. He looks beyond simply what is commonly reported. He looks beyond the statements that individuals make. He looks beyond the consensus of fact or education or views or worldly concepts. He looks beyond those things. And we find that the prudent man just doesn't accept it based on its appearance or based simply upon the surface. He looks beyond that. And so the prudent man is in contrast with the simple man, for he is not gullible. The simple man here is a gullible man because the Bible said he believes every word. A gullible person is a person who is easily misled. They're easily led astray. They're easily taken advantage of. Because you just simply share some things and boy, you've got them, hook, line, and sinker. The prudent man, where did he get this? He got this, listen, from his knowledge of the Word of God. For the Word of God has given us a special insight to the spiritual dangers and the evils that exist in the world. God has revealed things to us that the natural mind doesn't know. And so this man is able to understand things that are unseen and things that are spiritual that God has told us. A man cannot have the real wisdom of prudence if he doesn't know the Lord. Because only God can reveal these things to us. They are not found in any other source. It's God in His revelation, it's God's Word to us, unfolding for us the mysteries, the unseen, the things of darkness, the things of eternity, the things that are not apparent or known in the observation of men. God reveals that there are enemies. God reveals to us that there are evils and there are dangers that are unseen in the natural mind. So we start learning some things. There are many today who laugh and mock at us because they call us a people of a conspiracy theory. And they laugh and they mock about that. I've heard even what I would consider people who are on the right side of most issues and very conservative. I've heard them mock conspiracy theories. That there's something underneath or behind all these events and things. Well, I feel sorry for that man. You know why? He's foolish. He's foolish. Because God has told us there is. Listen to Ephesians 6 and see if this rings a bell. The Bible says, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You know what God's Word teaches us? That there are evils in this world and they are organized. They're organized. They have a method. They have a purpose. And they're behind the scenes. And they're actively engaged in using these things. And so a prudent man. You remember what Jesus, the Bible said concerning Jesus in John 2. "And he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 2:11, "Lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Now the corrective lens here of the prudent man is that he looks beyond, beneath, and behind, and he carefully evaluates. And so as he looks, he has an understanding of a lot of things that God has revealed that helps him to see things a little more clearly and to look beyond the surface of things. And we know something, that our appearances are strong in their persuasion. But a prudent man's not fooled by it. "For we're instructed by God that everything appears to be so is not so." We're instructed by God that there is a powerful, a supernatural deceiver. And so we are warned throughout the Scriptures. We have it illustrated for us. One of the great illustrations in the Bible was Israel's demand for a king. And they went by appearance and chose Saul. That became a disaster. An absolute disaster. What did God do? He simply reversed the whole thing and chose the man least likely they would have chosen to be king. And listen, he was one of the greatest kings in all the history of Israel. God's mighty servant David. And so he was showing. And matter of fact, the prophet Samuel told him that. That the Lord saith, not as a man saith. Listen, that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God does what? Looks on the heart. And so God communicates to us how to have a corrective lens, how to correct our sight, to understand that we must take the principles of Scripture and apply them in making decisions and judgments in life, in having that discernment. It requires the knowledge of the Word of God. Man cannot walk in the way of wisdom if he doesn't know God, doesn't know what God said. There's a whole world of things out there he's not aware of. And so what is the simple man? The simple man just goes right on through it. He believeth every word. And he becomes easily led, easily misled. But the prudent man, by the power of the Word of God, is able to make discernment. And so what do? We take the principles of Scripture, what God has taught us, and we use that. We use that. Here's an important word. We use it as a reference in our decision and our discernment. We use it. We use it. God helps us to look a little bit deeper and to relate things according to what God has revealed. Jesus knew what was in man. You and I know what's in man, don't we? Because we are one, excuse the English. We are one. And we know in every man there's corruption. The only remedy for that is Jesus Christ. And so, you know what? If a man doesn't know Christ, if a man, listen, is not saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't walk with Christ, that puts up a red flag with me. Are you listening? Puts a red flag. And so therefore, you know what? Listen, that makes me on guard. When I get information, when I get instruction, when I get someone who's trying to lead me, guide me, or teach me, and I know that man doesn't know Jesus Christ, listen, that raises a red flag. That makes me guarded. That makes me understand that here's a man without the knowledge of God who has not the Word of God in his heart, has not the Spirit of God to lead and guide him. Therefore, I know who he is, I know what he is, and I know what he'll do, because I used to be one. Y'all not listening to me tonight, are you? Not listening to me. That didn't mean that everything he says automatically take us a lie. But listen, it lets me be guarded as I receive. That has to pass through a lot of sieve. Because I know. I've learned. God has taught me. I understand that. You understand today that the simple who believe every word have given occasion to the rise of tyrants and despots who have brought horrible tragedy and travesty to nations and the world. Because I tell you something about a man, he ain't got no power at all unless you give it to him. Are you listening? He got no power unless it's given to him. And so, therefore, you and I, we are to be a prudent man. We are to use the things that God has revealed. And listen, you know what God reveals in His Word? God reveals that surgical procedure that lets me see things as they really are. The greatest cure for our eyesight is the Word of God. For it enables me to see. Somebody mentioned Fanny Crosby this morning. Had an accident early in her childhood and became blind all of her adult life. And yet we recognize that she had a greater spiritual vision than most ever had. Boy, she saw things. You read her hymns. Woo, man, she saw things and understood things that most Christians don't. Because of that keen spiritual vision God had given her. And so as you and I consider this, I think about principles that God calls us to consider. The Word of God becomes our reference. How good is your sight? Now listen, it's defined for us in our knowledge and understanding and our use of the Word of God. And so the prudent man seeks a reference. The simple believes every word. Somebody gets up and says something and they're bold about it and they're convicted about it. And boy, I tell you what, you like them and you like what they say on the service and they say all this kind of stuff. And listen, the simple just believe every word. Listen, but the prudent man said, no, wait a minute. Let's take some of the principles God teaches us and determine what I'm really seeing. God's Word teaches me to consider righteousness. Righteous, important? Well, of course it is. The Word of God tells me to consider character, integrity. The Word of God teaches me about a man and his associations. Bible's filled with principles about that. Listen, God tells me, that I am consider things of pride or humility or a man's motive or a man's ways. And so, we have here a reference in the Word of God that becomes the real test for the spirit of truth and the spirit of error that is discerned by the reference of the Word of God. You will not know it apart from the Word of God. But listen, by God and by the Holy Spirit, when you come seeking this book, listen, and learning what God says, it will indicate to you what is that spirit of error and cause you to rethink and to see things differently, and you become a wise and prudent man when you see beyond and beneath the surface. That's very important. Very important. Keeps you, what was the word we used growing up? Keeps you from being a sucker. Easy target. Being conned and swindled and deceived, lied to, being held in bondage, being entrapped, being enslaved. God gives you the principles that you are to apply. And you apply those principles, and they're always important. And so we have here, in this first situation, here is the prudent man. And you know what? He seeks a reference. What is the truth? Well, the Word of God is the truth. Amen? So that becomes my reference. When I've got to make some discernment, make some decisions, when I have to evaluate information, listen, then I go to the Bible and I apply it to the Scriptures first. And so that helps me to stop and put it in the right perspective and not be deceived, not be tricked, not be lied to, not be misled, because the Word of God will expose what is in error. So number one, the prudent man is not gullible because his reference is the Word of God. Secondly, notice in Proverbs 27, if you will, Proverbs 27. Look at verse number 12. Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on their punishment. Here's the second principle we look at, and we have the first man was needing a reference, using a reference, prudent man, having a reference. Now we have a prudent man seeks a refuge. Notice the Bible said he foreseeth the evil. What does he do? He hideth himself. He finds a refuge from the danger, from the evil. And so here, a prudent man who looks beyond, beneath, and behind and discerning evil and danger and sin. Listen, a prudent man knows that sin and evil is often masked by darkness. By darkness. Sometimes in life, if you notice, sometimes we are faced with situations where we're trying to discern things of right and wrong and truth and what is evil, that many times we are presented with things, but there is a resistance to examination. Ever notice that in life? In other words, you're getting information, and you'd like to have more, but you see there's a resistance to examination. The Lord Jesus, what did He require? What did He demand? He wanted them to search the Scriptures. Why? Because they testify of Me. Jesus Christ, listen, invited examination. Remember when Thomas doubted? Jesus met him later. What did He do? Invited him to come examine. Listen, the prudent man understands that evil, that sin, often is masked by darkness. Have you ever faced a situation where you're trying to make a decision and you really wanted to make this decision and somebody wanted to tell you something, exposing something? I don't want to hear that. That's not a prudent man. That's foolish. Right? That's foolish. You say, now I have my mind made up and I don't want to hear no more about it. No. You see, prudent man doesn't hide. Listen, from greater light, he welcomes it. If it's greater light, I won't know about it. Matter of fact, a prudent man ought to seek for light. And we make decisions. Well, did you think about it? Well, for a little bit, and I decide, well, you know, whatever. That's not a prudent man. No, that's a simple man. Prudent man always seeks to examine when he makes decisions and choices, when he makes discernment. He wants light. He wants, he wants truth. He wants to understand what it is. And he looks at it carefully to examine it to make sure it's the right decision. That's a prudent man. But the simple man, he's just doing what he wants to do. And the less information I got, the better I feel about it. And so we have here in the Scripture, a prudent man knows that sin and evil is often masked by darkness, and he knows this, that sin and evil is often masked by deception. By deception. The whole Bible's filled with it. Started out in the garden. What happened in the garden? The tempter came in the form of a serpent that time before the curse. It was a lovely creature, all the colors and the beauty. It would draw them unto himself, and that was the instrument of choice for the devil. New Testament, what do you find out? We are warned by the apostle that the devil is able to transform himself even into an angel of light. The prudent man knows that. The prudent man looks beyond appearances of that which appears to be right, appears to be true, appears to be godly, appears to be spiritual. He looks beyond that. Prudent man does, because he knows God's taught him that sin and evil often is disguised, masked by deception. And so, what does the prudent man do? The prudent man seeks a refuge. He seeks a refuge. You know what? The Bible says, unless the days be shortened, even the elect would be deceived. Huh? You know what that tells me? That tells me, I don't care how spiritual and Bible knowledge we have, listen, we can be deceived. You know what that means? That means I need a refuge. The prudent man only has a reference, but he has a refuge. You know what? Sometimes I get in prayer closet and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I really don't. I don't have a clue. But thank God, I know He does. And I just ask Him to lead me and to guide me. Sometimes we stand at the crossroad of life and didn't know what direction to go. Lord, I don't know how to discern and understand what Your will is. And so, God, I'm just coming. I run to You, God, because You know everything, and there's nothing hid from You. You are the eternal God. There's nothing hid. Listen, Lord, You know everything, and You know what I should do, and I'm going to trust You because You promised in Romans 8 that I would be led by the Spirit of God. And so, God, I'm just coming to You. I'm seeking You because I don't know what to do. Listen, thank God a prudent man knows he has a refuge. He's got a refuge. And so the prudent man looks to the Word of God. He looks to God Himself. You realize the Bible is so important today. It is the only thing in this entire world that identifies and reveals the Antichrist. If you didn't have a Bible, there would be no way to know, and all would be deceived. It is the only book. And listen, I'll say this without apology. As I have looked at modern translations, I believe more and more as we are approaching today, the only book in this world revealing the Antichrist and the truth about these coming events is your King James Bible. Why? In modern translation, even Lucifer has gone through a makeover. In modern Bible dictionaries that you would find in the bookstore, look up the term Lucifer And you'll find a denial of his association of the fallen angel and the devil. A great makeover. And modern translations, listen, have also participated in making a break and a separation from that connection. And so, listen, this book becomes the refuge for the prudent man. He comes unto God and seeks the face of God. So what do we learn? Listen, a prudent man is not gullible, and the prudent man is guarded. He's guarded. Because he applies those principles, and he realizes that if there are inconsistencies with the Word of God, then he becomes guarded in whatever information is given to him. And it affects his choices. It affects his position. It affects his loyalties. It affects his standing. He becomes a guarded man as a prudent man because God teaches him the end result. When the principles of the Word of God are not applied nor considered important, the prudent man understands that the end result, listen, will not be a blessing. Ain't going to happen. If you want a hero without moral character, you're a simple man. And it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. You cannot divorce character when you consider a man's leadership in your life. Bible says it ain't going to work. God always has the last word. God is always true. Thirdly, let's notice here in Proverbs 29, verse number 18. I've included this one because I believe also it fits in to the sight and the corrective lens of the prudent man. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Notice here, there's a contrast between a man who continues in his relationship to the law of God. He continues down the path of righteousness in contrast with people who perish. That perishing is relating to the previous or to the second part of the verse in the fact that the no vision was is that they lost hope that there was a blessing in continuing to walk with God. And so what we have here, thirdly, we have the prudent man not only has a reference, not only has a refuge, but the prudent man has a reward. That is, he sees a reward by walking with God. And that becomes a vision of hope in his heart. A prudent man looks beyond. And he needs a reference. Prudent man sees the evil and the dangers. He needs a refuge. But the prudent man looks beyond it and he sees the great reward. That indeed, the greatest blessing that will come in his life comes from having loved God, believed in Him and served Him. And listen, that vision is set before him. And so, listen, he is a man of hope. His hope is in God. His hope is in God's promise. And it keeps him steadfast and abounding in the work of the Lord. For he knows his labor's not in vain. And that vision of hope will continue to guide him and lead him as he looks forward to the fulfillment of God's promise. You see, this vision is the promise of God. And so he rests his faith and hope in better things, in better days, in a better life, because God has promised it. The prudent man sees beyond and beneath and behind and establishes hope in what God has revealed. God has given him the insight to look at all that the world, flesh, and the devil promises. And now with a renewed corrective vision, He sees it as shallow. It is superficial. It is temporal. And therefore, he loses his desire or taste for what it offers. For now, he has seen something more glorious. He sees something more wonderful. When you and I have a fellowship, and we get to the dessert table, you know what most of the time we do? Before I make my choice, I scan what's ahead. If it's a long table, I may even walk and go look. I know my wife and I are different in a lot of ways. I know before she gets there what she's scanning for. You're right, Miss Ann. Chocolate. She's scanning for chocolate. I don't mind chocolate, but it's not my absolute favorite. So I'm hoping there's something else besides chocolate. I will eat it, nothing else. And enjoy. But I scan for other things, you see. And I look. And I usually narrow it down to about five things, okay? So put a little bit on. But that's a crude illustration of foresight. I could take some of this, okay? But not after I saw that. Not after I saw that. There's some things I never passed up. Never. Brother Richard, I never passed up Pauline's banana pudding. Never did. Never did. I may have got some other things, but I never passed it up. Because it's made from scratch like grandma's. Okay? And I just couldn't pass it up. Couldn't pass it. Now, I got some other things to go with it, but I couldn't pass it up. You see, here's what God did. God gave the prudent man a foresight to look beyond all that the world, flesh, and devil offers to us. But he sees something glorious a little bit further. And you know what he's going to do? I'm going to wait for that. Y'all can have the liver pate. I'm going to wait a little while. Okay? Y'all can have the liver pudding and the brains and eggs, but I'm looking a little bit further down the road. Y'all can have the chitlins, but I'm going to pass on and look a little further down the road. I always wanted to thank the man who saved me that day in the Murphy house. I got the spoon and went and he said, you know what you're looking at? And I said, no, sir, I was trying to figure out. I thought it might be some odd barbecue. He kind of chuckled. He said, that's chitlin, boy. I said, sir, thank you so much. I appreciate that. He said, well, go ahead and get some. I believe I'll pass that up today. And I'm moving on. And I wanted, after the meal, go back and give him a hug. You know, just say, man, thank you so much. You know what that meant to me? But the prudent man has foresight. God has let him see some things. And listen, it has renewed a vision of hope that's found in God. And listen, where there's no vision, when there's no hope, what happens? People perish. They absolutely perish. And you know what? I meet people all the time. You know what? Listen, they're dying a slow and painful death. You know why? Because they don't have no hope. They don't have no hope. Man, when hope dies, life is dying. And listen, when a man is in a state of hopelessness, life becomes meaningless. And you know what happens? He starts down the path of destruction, Brother Charles. You and I have seen it happen. I've seen it happen to people I know. You know what? Listen, they hit that place where their life and their situation they felt like was hopeless. You know what the next step? My life is meaningless. And you know what the third step is? They start down the quick path of destruction. I've seen it. Quick path of destruction. You know why? Because if you don't have hope, you perish. The prudent man, no matter what he goes through and how difficult life may be, Listen, he gets up out of the mire, takes another step, keeps on going. You know why? Because I still see the promise of God ahead. And I'm not going to quit now. I'm not going to quit now. That's the prudent man. You see, we have a picture of a man that God came in and gave him those corrected lenses. And what happens in his life? He found out very quickly he needed a reference. I need a reference. Found out the Word of God. He realized, boy, there's dangers and there's powers of deception and they are supernatural. There's a supernatural enemy. Listen, waiting around every corner is, the attempt to destroy my testimony for Jesus and enslave and entrap me. So, listen, that guarded man seeks and finds and secures a refuge in God. That's a prudent man. Runs to God when he don't understand what to do. Listen, he runs to God. Then thirdly, here's a man not only has a reference and a refuge, but he sees his great reward. That reward motivates him to keep on going. Not to be a sellout, but to keep walking toward the promise of God. For he's assured that'll be worth it all when he enters into the glory that the Lord has promised. Prudent man. Be wise. Prudent man. Wasn't gullible. He's guarded. He's also guided. That's the prudent man. Let's pray together.